Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Russell Wilson, I think the last 3 years we've figured out kind of where Russell is in his career. You know, he's going to hold the football on a long time. If you can create some one-on-ones, he's got a chance to be a really good player throwing the ball downfield. I do believe he's not what he was 5 years ago. That's not some earth-shattering statement. The Fields thing is interesting to me. And also frustrating to me at the same time because, you know, Pittsburgh, and I heard you guys talking about it, and obviously it's been a conversation all week. Like, this is one of the reasons why so many of us, and me very much so, was so convicted about keeping Justin on the field.
Dan Orlovsky saying the Steelers made a mistake getting away from Justin Fields earlier this year. 412-928-9370. We'll react to that in a moment. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We are now joined for the next 3 hours by our friend Pat Bostic. Good morning to you, Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You good?
There you go.
I think I'm good, yeah. Are you good?
I'm great.
It's going to snow for like the 15th straight day.
I am never the I hate winter guy, especially with the last two that we've had because they've been so mild.
Just give me one like 12-inch dump of snow, not like two.
Right.
Every day off. Get slushy, ice, snow again.
It's been a bad winter. It's been a very wintry winter, mm-hmm. And that sucks. I'm usually the guy who says Christmas doesn't count because it's so much fun. January always sucks, but then February getting closer to March Madness, and you're going to get like a 50-degree day accidentally every now and again. No, this winter blows.
Terrible.
What happens when your kids get older and you have daycare and stuff and all that stuff, logistics, chickens, you start to... The shine wears off.
Oh, my God.
Winter wonderland no longer.
The roads were awful the other day. And then, you know, when you get older and you don't have kids, winter's not so bad. But then when you do have the kids, it's not just traveling and driving them around. It's also that they're Petri dishes. And this time of the year, they're always bringing home some sort of disease.
Yep.
So, yeah, winter blows. Apparently. Pun intended. You can give us a ring in the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We have both said that the Steelers should go with Justin Fields this year. I've thought long and hard about whether or not the Steelers screwed up last year by going to Russell Wilson. And I've criticized the Steelers and we've criticized the Steelers a lot last week and the first 3 days of this week. I don't think they made the wrong decision going with Russell Wilson. I actually am okay with you're a 10-7 team. You feel like you've got the bones. You move off from all your quarterbacks. You bring in a guy who's won a Super Bowl. You see if your roster is good enough, and you take a shot at it. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You want to win, you want to win a playoff game. Don't do it 2 years in a row. Mm-mm. That's where the mistake would be. I have no problem with them going for it because you're evaluating your roster then with better, you think, quarterback play. But don't make the same mistake twice. That's where I am on it.
Do you honestly think that if Justin Fields was 6-0, that they stick with him? If he didn't lose those two games, do they stick with Justin Fields, or do they still stick to their guns, which we both think, and I'm sure Pat can you know, think on the same plane as us, that Mike Tomlin probably said something to Russ in the beginning of the season, like, whenever you're healthy, you are a guy, no matter what. Probably promised him something. Do you think that if Justin Fields didn't lose those games, they move off of him?
I don't know how you could. I mean, they probably would just because of the promise, I think, that was made to Russ when he came here in the beginning. But it would be a lot more difficult to move off of him. And I think you'd have players weighing into that too. You know, the Cams, the Freiermuth, the veterans on that in that locker room that don't want to mess a good thing up, and just have Russ ready for when, if and when things went the wrong way. But obviously that didn't happen. So they decided to go with Russ, and it went good for a while, and then the bottom fell out.
I think if they're 6-0, they don't bench him. I think if they win the Dallas game and he plays well, they don't bench him at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were always waiting for that reason.
Yeah.
At 6-0, I can't see them doing that. I think that's a really hard sell to your guys, even Cam and TJ, who lobbied to get Russ in whenever you're undefeated. I don't think you can make that move. And speaking of Russ and Cam, they did lobby for Russ, or speaking of Cam and TJ, they did lobby for Russ, and that's why I'm okay with them making that decision last year. You threw your veterans a bone. TJ, you've never won a playoff game. Let's give it the old college try. Cam, you haven't been healthy in the playoffs. You want to win a playoff game, we'll give it the old college try. But if you do it now this year and you bring Russ back, I think you could be better than last season. But are you any closer to finding your franchise quarterback? No, and that now needs to be the goal. Find the franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I think you're still in this purgatory you've been in for the last however many years, you know, since Ben left, and really since Ben was at his prime. They would not have, even if they would have stuck with Justin Fields, by the way, I can tell you what they would not have done. They wouldn't have said, he's our guy, he's our starter for the rest of the year. That declaration would not have happened. I guarantee it would not have happened. It would have been a passive-aggressive, he's going to keep the ball, you know, type of situation. But I agree. You made a point earlier, Adam, about, you know, see if your roster is good enough. To me, that's what, when I sit and think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, And I think about your offseason, and I think about the capital you have available, the options you have at your disposal to get better, it's hard for me to conjure up a situation where you pay a quarterback too much money, because that is not the whole problem. And candidly, if you're looking to get your franchise quarterback, you better build around him and maybe do that before he even gets here. You know, I'd pay Justin Fields whatever you can get to keep him. You may get a situation where a guy slips in the draft, you know, and you have an evaluation on a Shedeur Sanders or a Cam Ward, and Cam Ward's not going to drop. I think he'll be at the top of the draft. But a guy slips to the bottom of the draft, and you have an opportunity to get a guy. I don't know what the interviews and analysis on a Jalen Milroe will bear out. I have my opinions on whether or not he's going to be a pro. But I think you ride with Justin Fields this year and use as much capital to improve that offensive line and get that perimeter straight for the first time in 20 years. Get that perimeter straight, and then when you find your quarterback, you get him and you let him ball.
Mm-hmm.
But
sink or swim.
Yeah, I don't think you go. I mean, you don't pay $40 million to Russ. I would not pay Kirk Cousins a dime. I wouldn't go get Aaron Rodgers. I want nothing to do with Kyler Murray. If you're going to be in purgatory, do it with the devil you know. Do it with the devil you know, and try to find a diamond in the rough that can build behind him. Because all indications are that Justin Fields would be a heck of a mentor for whoever that would be. And quarterback mobility seems to be important. Go find a guy that's like him, but throws it better.
Do you think that Justin Fields played well? How do you think he played? Honestly, like, as a quarterback evaluation, how do you think he played in those six games? Like, do you feel comfortable with him being your guy this coming season?
With how they want to play, yes. And I don't think they built the offense around him. I think they built their offense around Russ and around Arthur Smith. And You know, I look at situations, you know, everyone wants to talk about the playoffs and they want to talk about, you know, they want to talk about Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. But I look at a situation like Philly, you know, and I was out that way and watched Kenny play and Tanner McKee play for them. And yeah, they played Dallas and New York, but they beat the brakes off both those teams. Pittsburgh didn't beat anyone like that this year.
Nope.
And you know why they did it? It wasn't necessarily because who was under center. It's because they're really good up front and they got dudes on the outside. And they've got their share of problems there too. They got bickering and infighting and guys reading books on the sideline and all that stuff. But like, they have really good people. And they allowed a second round pick in Hurts to, and I know Tomlin said this, to kind of ascend into that role. And yeah, I think Jalen Hurts is a better passer than Justin Fields. He ain't a better athlete than him. They're very comparable. So build it around that. If that's what you see as a future of this game, with Lamar, with Bo Nix now, with the guys in this draft class, quite frankly, and modernize on offense with Justin Fields as the fulcrum for now, and see if you can get a better centerpiece. But most importantly, who are the spokes in the wheel?
Yeah,
because right now there's a bunch of them that are just broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let's get into that, the roster creation as we move forward here. Also, there's one quarterback that you didn't mention that I want to talk about. We'll get into some of these guys in the drafts and whether in the draft and whether or not Pat likes any of them. That's all on the way. Pat with us until 10 o'clock. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Here is a good one. Why do we still love Fields? I'd argue that Boz and Watt were two of Fields' wins alone. He should be 2-4 at best. I'll try to crystallize this as best I can. I don't think anyone loves him per se, but the options aren't good.
What are your other options?
Right. So you go with the cheaper option. You build out your roster. You allow Fields to be Fields. If he works, problem solved. If he doesn't, your roster is better for when the guy comes in. And Pat brought up Philadelphia. We were talking about that a little bit earlier. When you look at the quarterbacks who are left, Hurts is probably the least talented. Is that fair?
As a passer, yeah.
As a quarterback, yeah.
They got the best roster.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And so he looks really good. Uh-huh. And he was in the MVP conversation not that long ago. So there are many ways to skin a cat here. You can trade up and get a guy. You can maybe get a guy in the second round. If you do that, your roster's got to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Justin Fields gives you the best chance because of what he'll cost to build up that roster.
I'm just in the camp right now. It may change, of course, and it'll change as the months go on. But I'm just in the camp as if you can't beat them, join them. And, you know, you look at the Baltimore Ravens, you see what they're doing. They give themselves a chance every single year. You might as well, you have Lamar Jackson light. If you can't beat them, you might as well join them. You might as well try to replicate what they're doing in Baltimore and set your pride aside and be like, yeah, we're going to be all in on you, Justin. And you got to let him be him, though. Like, you got to let Justin be the athlete that he is. Like, it may not look great at times, but like, he can make some plays whenever he's him. I think he was held back a lot this year on purpose. If you're going to ride with him this year, you got to, the shackles got to come off.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, day one.
For good or bad, and you give him 17 games, and you say, let's see what happens.
Yep.
And if he stinks, then you know. And if he's great, then you know. They screwed it up with Kenny, Pat.
Yep.
And I don't know if Kenny ever would have worked out here. I'm not saying one way or the other, but Kenny, don't turn it over. Oh, dear God, don't make a mistake. Let's try to win as many games down the stretch as a rookie. Why? Let him play quarterback and see what he's got. Let him develop, for God's sakes.
Well, yeah, I just don't see anything about this team as currently constructed that would be any worse with Justin Fields. I think we all thought and hoped that Russ would elevate them. And there were times when that seemed to be taking shape, and then it didn't. And then it just went the other way. And I think we started to realize that, you know, when offensive linemen started pulling in and running into each other, that they had issues. And I've been beating this drum to a pulp about how bad they are up front.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think the interior is as much of an issue. Like, I'm fine with...
Are they bad or are they young?
They're not young at two tackles. And if they trot those two back out there next year, I don't care who's a quarterback. Like, Dan Moore, see ya. And Broderick Jones has got to go.
Wow!
Yeah, I mean...
It's going to be Faltano and Jones.
Faltano can play right tackle.
Yeah.
Get me a left tackle.
You don't want Broderick to try it out at left?
No, I do not. I want no part of it. You're asking for four holding calls a game. you can't continue to make the same mistakes in a less stressful environment and think that just because you're going into a left tackle position, we're saying, attaboy, get over there. You're the guy now. It's going to get better. He has not gotten better.
No, he regressed this year.
He has regressed. So what would tell you, and that's what I'm saying, sign Fields, get a deal, go draft a quarterback, and go get yourself a free agent left tackle, deal with Pickens, probably deal him if there's a buyer, and make this roster A, better, and B, more mature. Like, give me some guys out there that are going to, when the fire's hot, they're not going to point fingers. And they're not going to cost you with penalties and otherwise. Like, I want to see serious turnover on that offensive side. And quarterback will be the least of my concerns right now. Because it is not a fix now. It's not possible.
Yeah, you throw a guy in there. Let's say Jackson Dart's there. And because we know how this goes with quarterbacks.
I like
right?
Jackson Dart.
Me too.
Nobody likes any of these quarterbacks right now. I know what you just said. You like Jackson Dart. You do too. Mm. It's a bad quarterback class. Give it a month and a half. It's a great quarterback class.
Right.
The way it goes. So Dart might be thought of really highly by the time the draft rolls around. And if he's there at 21, the Steelers take him. You might be in a position where that guy can't succeed. Schematically, roster-wise. That's what you're kind of saying, right?
Right.
Like, unless you build everything else up, you could have the right guy, and he might not be the right guy at the right time.
Well, and the way that the economics of the draft work now, I mean, you're not mortgaging your future by drafting a quarterback the way you used to, the way you would with Jamarcus Russell, or obviously you go back, you know, 10, 15 years to the way the guaranteed money worked.
Oh, that's the perfect one.
Yeah. So right,
stupid long sleeve Sam Bradford looked like such a goob.
Any of those?
Sorry. Look at me! I got my long sleeves.
I just want to see some. I just want to see some improvement, you know, to the roster. And I think we can't expect an overnight flip of a switch, and all of a sudden they're better at every position. However, there are some very specific ones that to me, I want no part of drafting Ashton Jeanty. I want no part of it. Like, don't draft a running back that doesn't work in the first round. It does not work, save for a few very, very, very unique, special examples. Get another running back. Keep Cordarrelle Patterson. I don't know. But let Jaylen Warren go. Put Fields back there with him. Improve your left tackle position if there's one position. And get me another receiver, maybe two if Pickens is out. And then let's roll. Let's roll. Figure out what the hell's going on that defensive side with the miscommunications and issues. I still think that unit's good enough to win. They got embarrassed against Baltimore. Embarrassed.
And that's what gives a lot of people worries, and I know gives Crowley worries, is that, you know, we can identify that they need, and a lot of people can identify that they need to fix the offense and get playmakers, right? But the way that they lost that last game, you know how Mike Tomlin's going to think. We got to fix this defense. We got to get bigger up front on defense.
Well, save draft capital then. You draft capital for defense then. That's fine. Get quarterback in the first round. Get me some Georgia D linemen. Get me some big old boys up front in there that can plug it up and stop the run, because they can't do that consistently. Not with what they have on the edge. They're too small. They're too quick. They get beat with gap scheme all the time because of their size on the perimeter with Highsmith and Watt. They're smaller guys. By the way, where's Preston Smith? I mean, not even playing.
Oh, my God.
Like, what was that? So there's a litany of issues, and we're talking about all of them. None of them have anything to do with the quarterback position, and that's where I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are at. You need to plan to fix that position. I think I heard Doug say this next year or the year after. Right now you need a stopgap, and the stopgap is right in your room, and everyone likes him. And he's got talent. His name's Justin Fields. Any time and energy spent anywhere else is going to cost you more money than you need to spend.
That's why I've been saying for a couple of days, the goal is not winning a playoff game next year. You need to start building this thing towards winning a championship. And guys like Cam Hayward and TJ Watt, that really sucks for them, but they're going to have to get on board. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. There's a lot that Pat said there. Pat's melting all the snow, Dorn. You came in hot on Broderick Jones. That's really good stuff.
I mean, I have no patience for a guy that pulls and runs into the other tackle. And then it just happens all the time, man. Like,
it can't happen in a game like that.
That can't happen once.
No, and clearly it's his mistake, because the ball's going to his side and he's running the opposite direction. And it wasn't a reverse. And I don't even know. I don't know the young man. But I've seen enough to know.
Oh, he's a nice guy.
I've seen enough to know I've seen too much.
Yeah.
Is my line.
All right. A lot to digest, a lot to react to what Pat said. He mentioned a lot of free agent quarterbacks before. There's one he didn't want to throw that past him. Want to throw some of these draftable guys out at both of you guys when we come back. 412-928-9370. You can give us a ring, a question for any of us. You want to talk about the Steelers and how you build them out? We'd love to hear your theories on it too. All right, don't laugh at me. Could I interest either of you, and Pat Bostick in with us until 10? I'll open it up to Callis, too. Could I interest any of the three of you in a slightly used Sam Darnold?
No.
Who you want to call? Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
The ghosts are back.
When there's pressure in his face, and no quarterback should be as good with pressure, but he poops his pants.
Well, he'd be walking into a pressure cooker in Pittsburgh.
Oh, no doubt.
Based on their ability or inability to protect. So, No. I agree with Mike Tomlin on this. With the way they're constructed, quarterback mobility is as important as it's ever been.
Yep.
I don't think Sam's immobile. Like, he rushed for 200-something yards, but he ain't mobile.
No.
And he'd cost... We agree he's going to cost more than Fields, too. Because there's a lot of good tape from Sam Darnold this year.
There is, but... When you get sacked 9 times in a game, that is like a step above just signing your name on the SAT and not getting one other question right. Like, you have to do something to get sacked 9 times.
9 times.
Like, you've got to do something.
Is that Ferris Bueller's Day Off? 9 times?
Yeah, it's like, you are complicit, if not culpable, for that. At the quarterback position, you know, 5-4, okay. Yeah, protection. Beyond that, you're not getting the ball out. and you're and something is causing you to come undone and say, here, sack me.
Programming note, by the way, Callis just jumped in my ear, which is a visual. Bill Hillgrove going to join us at 7:50. We'll talk about the state of Pitt hoops and what happened at last night's game. So looking forward to that coming up in about, every clock in here is different, in about 9 minutes. Okay, so we're all out on Donald, and I am too. I just wanted to throw him out there because we're trying to turn over every stone, and Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan, they're probably meeting for their half day today to discuss the quarterback position. So, all right, no Sam Darnold, because that's bad. Don't do it. And if you can see ghosts there with that scheme and Kevin O'Connell and those wide receivers that you've
zombies
got.
Zombies here.
Yeah, it ain't the same. You're not walking into as good of a situation here. Even if everything goes right this offseason, you're not going to have the best wide receiver in football. So, no Darnold. We've talked about building out the roster, and Doug said yesterday he's not even really thinking about drafting a guy this year. It would have to be the perfect situation. You're trying to build that nest, and then next year and beyond, you're looking for that guy. Is there somebody that if he fell to you at 21, though, that you would be willing to take? Cam Ward's not going to be there. I doubt Shedeur Sanders is going to be there. So you're really looking at the Jackson Darts of the world, the Jalen Milroe's, the Quinn Ewers. No, thank you. So Dart, Milroe, if they're there at 21, as this draft process evolves and these guys start getting mocked more and more in the first round, do you consider doing that?
No.
For neither?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need a receiver, in my opinion. And then if somebody falls to the second, yeah, I'll take a quarterback in the second.
I'm probably there, too. I think receiver, the return on investment for that seems to be more immediate. In terms of what you see in the NFL, I want no part of drafting an offensive lineman. They need to go get somebody. They need to go get a free agent left tackle or make a trade to get somebody.
Someone you don't have to develop.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because they need plug and play at that spot. But yeah, I'm with Dorn. I'm with Dorn on that. Unless there's a second year player out there, you know, JJ McCarthy is an example where there's an opportunity to go get that guy. If that were to surface, if they
Joe
invest,
Milton.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Milton, I have less confidence that turns into a franchise quarterback, but it's an affordable backup with serious upside and talent. So, yeah, I think that's where my head would be with their situation. I kind of agree with Doug and Doran.
I'm there, too. We'll talk more about the Steelers coming up at the top of the hour. Let's get into Pitt hoops next. They lose last night, losers of three straight. Huge game coming up on Saturday. I've been refreshing the net rankings like crazy. They have not yet come out this morning. See what happened to Pitt after last night's loss. Let's talk to Bill Hillgrove about the Panthers when we return. All right, Pitt falls last night 82-70 on the road to Florida State. Florida State in the top 75 in the net rankings, so that's a quad one loss. But that's now three consecutive losses for the Panthers. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. The man calling all the action, Bill Hillgrove, voice of the Panthers, joins us right now. Good morning to you, Bill. How you doing?
Oh, I'm just great. Jamming 8 hours into about three.
Oh, man. Oh. Bill, broadly, before we niche down on some things, Panthers now, like mentioned, losers of three straight. What do you think the problem is right now?
Rebounding. You look at their stats for the league, you know, the ACC, and they're minus. And you got to be plus. You got to be able to rebound. And it was a problem in their loss to Louisville at home. And then last night, again, it was a problem. They lost the rebound battle by seven. But when they turned the ball over, 17 times? When you go on the road, you got to take good care of the basketball, and they didn't do it last night.
Bill, I mean, with the rebound situation, you're absolutely right, obviously. But can they fix it? And how, if they can fix it, how can they fix it? Is it a different configuration of the lineup? You know, obviously, Damian Dunn was a starter, I believe, last night, and Diaz Graham was out. So, I mean, how can they fix that issue?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of will. You got to want that ball coming off the board. And I don't think they've wanted it enough. Cam Corhan can only do so much by himself, but he needs help from the others. And, you know, their guards have to rebound better. But you know, last night was very disheartening because they were a slight favorite. Very few times had a lead in the game. And they just allowed Florida State to dictate terms, especially the physicality. You know, Florida State went to the foul line 33 times. Now, that's a lot.
That's a lot of times. And you mentioned rebounding, Billy, and the Panthers need to obviously rebound figuratively and literally against Clemson on Saturday, you know, and probably what amounts to a must-win game. But I want to pivot to a positive. Sam Clancy, the number 15, will finally be hoisted into the rafters, retired for Pitt basketball. We talk about Dick Groat and the athlete he was. Sam Clancy, if not in that echelon, very close.
No doubt about it. And did I sound like Pat Narduzzi when I said that?
Yeah, a little
no
bit.
No doubt about it. he's one of the greatest players, not only for the Panthers, but, you know, in the annals of college basketball. And my favorite trivia question is, what 12-year professional football veteran had more career rebounds than Patrick Ewing? The answer
Sam
is
Clancy.
Number 15.
I nailed that.
Yep.
I crushed
and,
it.
And, you know, I'm honored that they've asked me to kind of do the ceremony, to emcee the ceremony. And by the way, you know, on The Fan tonight, on the Jeff Capel show, Sam will be one of the guests. I think I'll drop in and maybe tell a Sam story or two. And Mike DeCourcy, the national basketball writer, will also join, the broadcast tonight from the Peterson Event Center. He was just unique. Unfortunately for him, his skills, vast in college basketball, didn't translate into the NBA. And he'd have been 6'11 if he hadn't been so bow-legged. And I think, you know, that did not augur well for him when he hit the pros. But you know what? The great athlete he was, it's a shame that he didn't play football at Pitt, but you know how coaches are. A scholarship coach is going to say, no, he's mine. He's not going to play football, but that probably would have helped him become a perennial All-Pro. But, you know, the guy is just one of the most, not only amazing athletes, but just a great person. And you guys have all been around him enough to know that, what he gives you is what you get. And it's, you know, just a massive personality, a smile on his face. And I think it's going to be a special moment on Saturday.
Should be a hell of a crowd. Last thing here for you, Bill. Weirdness at the end of that game, some nonsense at the end of the game. What do you make of that?
Well, I think the Panthers were upset that they dunked in the closing seconds.
Yeah.
And I've always seen Jeff Capel remind his players, okay, we have the lead, just wind the clock out. And for whatever reason, Florida State decided not to do that. And that made the handshake a little bit testy, and it got pretty ugly for a while, but no punches were thrown, and, you know, cooler heads did prevail, so it's one of those things. We had Tim O'Toole on as a post-game guest, and he said, you know, when I was a head coach at Fairfield, that happened to me, and a guy dunked at the end of the game needlessly, and I wasn't real pleased about it. And he said, I got a call from Coach K. Apparently they're friends. And Coach K said, how's things going? Yeah, I'm bad. I didn't like that at the end of the game. He goes, look, they can do whatever they want. You can't control that. And if they do it, okay, that's your way you want to be, fine. You know, take that approach. And I think he's spot on. And unfortunately, it got emotional. And but like I say, the gendarme did a good job of keeping them separate, and cooler heads did prevail.
Billy, we look forward to your call on Saturday. I appreciate you joining us as always.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Take care.
Thanks, Billy.
Get some rest, Pard.
Billy Hilly.
He's got to be tired, man.
Yeah.
Got to be tired.
Sam Clancy, though, just like Bill said, I mean, you know, great, one of the greatest athletes to probably come out of Pittsburgh, but even a greater guy. Like, if you ever have a chance and you see Sam somewhere, he's the most engaging person. An unbelievable person, unbelievable human being, and he has some great stories as well. I know that for a fact.
And he's just, you want to talk about Pitt guy through and through?
Through and through.
Pitt guy through and through. By the way, if I were not bow-legged, I would be 5'9".
You are 5'9".
That's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
If I weren't bow-legged, I'd be 5'9".
Oh, my goodness.
Not bow-legged. 8 turnovers for Jalen Lowe last night. You talk about fatigue for Billy. So much of what they do runs through Jalen Lowe. I think he's hitting a little bit of a wall, and I would expect that probably not to continue. I think he's going to get through it. He's too good.
Yeah, I mean, this is the point in the season. I mean, people forget Pitt was 0-5 in ACC play last year to start things off. So, you know, there's ebbs and flows, and they're in a bit of a rut right now, and he's certainly going to be a part of bringing them out of it. I just think, you know, he's been such an important scorer for them that he feels like he has to make something happen, and really right now he's got to trust his teammates. Really, it's going to be other guys that have to play more under control. And I thought Dunn gave them that against Louisville. He did not give them that last night. And they just were in a funk. And they came out in the second half, played great, got it to one, and then threw the ball away, and that was it. That was it. It was just went the wrong direction. But they've got to get it going back the right direction. And they haven't beaten Clemson in a long time. And they got him at home. Sam Clancy, you mentioned his jersey, the person he is. That's going to be emotional. Plenty of reasons to go win this game. Most importantly is getting a win and getting back in the win column, but also for all the nostalgic reasons around the proceedings. So it should be fun. It should be a good atmosphere, but it's a must win. Have to win it. Like, you can't lose 4 in a row and expect to be, like, they're falling into the bubble category now, and the ACC is not getting the love that it got 10 years ago. We know that. So you're in kind of rocky territory at the moment.